to God. There's never a moment. Isn't that wonderful? No matter how much I hurt, no matter what the pain, and if you have your Bibles, please open to the book that I named earlier, Glory to God. Judges chapter 6, starting at verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord. How many remember what we talked about this morning? If you weren't here this morning, I need to refresh your memory just a little bit. The word angel right there means a prophet, a priest, a teacher, an ambassador, one dispatched as a deputy or a messenger. How many know that's what I am tonight? That's what your pastor is tonight. Angels don't really do the ministry. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't come on the scene in Acts chapter 15, I believe it is. There was an angel that came to Peter and got him out of prison. But this gospel that you and I have in our possession is ministered to by what? Human beings, messengers sent by God. So this story where it says, and a messenger of the Lord came. I have come as a messenger of the Lord to give you a word. How many know that is my job? It's not to put you down. It's not to make you feel guilty. It's not to keep you in consciousness of your sin. It's so that you can walk out of here free tonight differently than what you came in. That's why I love the job that God Almighty gave me. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. How many understand that the gospel is good news? It's not bad. It's not sad. You can't preach it mad. It's a good message. When you can enjoy salvation instead of sin, health instead of sickness, love instead of loneliness, happiness instead of despair, faith instead of fear, abundance instead of lack, prosperity instead of poverty, good instead of evil, life instead of death. It's a good message. What a wonderful message that you and I get to share. But it's not done by angels, it's done by messengers. So tonight, as the word's coming forth, understand I'm sent from God. The pastor is sent from God to do what? Give you a word from God. Why? So you can walk out of here a whole lot differently. Now the story goes on, and the angel came to Gideon, and the Bible declares that Gideon was in a wine press hiding. I mean, you know, Gideon was a little bit afraid. He was hiding in the wine press, thrashing wheat in a wine press, hiding in a wine press, thrashing wheat from the Midianites. I mean, understand that that boy wasn't too concerned about the future. He was only concerned right then and there about his immediate needs. I mean, there's a lot of us in the body of Christ that way. We don't have life, we have existence. And that's not what God came to give you and I. God is life. Everything about God is life. Now, we know that the Bible declares that God is love, but how many know his essence is life? Without his life, there is no love. Everything about God is life. What did God come to give you and I? He came to give you and I a life that is much more abundant than anything that you and I have ever had. But there's too many of us that are sitting in a wine press thrashing wheat because we choose, if you will, or we've allowed ourselves to identify with our past instead of identifying with what God Almighty has called us and sees us as. This angel of the Lord, the messenger came, the same as I am tonight. And what did he say? He said, thou mighty man of valor. Wow. He had a future that looked destitute, but God saw his future as prosperous. He saw him successful, saw him winning. I dig it. It's so cool. I mean, no, God doesn't see me as a failure. He doesn't see me as a loser. Everything that he needed, everything Gideon needed, everything that you and I need tonight to win is already on the inside of us. God was not calling those things that be not as though they are. They were already there. God does call things that be not as though they are. But in this case, he didn't. He called him exactly what he was and said, this is exactly what you are. How many know that God doesn't look at you the same way men look at you? And when we understand that, we'll stop looking at ourselves the same way we've been looking at ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 16 says, henceforth we look at no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, I don't want to look at myself after the flesh. Makes a lot of mistakes, but I can look at the one on the inside of me. I can look at the one that's recreated on the inside, the one that's in harmony with God, the one that's free to soar like an eagle, to be like that caterpillar. We can sit there all day long and wait for a break. Wait for a new opportunity, wishing that we could fly, wishing we could be like a butterfly, but we're sitting on that branch, eating that leaves, just a caterpillar. A lot of people are like that. They just wish that they would win a couple bucks. They just wish that something wonderful would happen. They just wish they could get a new job. They just wish that their marriage would change. They just wish. I mean, it's like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, you know. It's like somewhere over the rainbow. If I just clicked my heels three times, everything would work out all right. No, you'd have to wake up and it all start over again. People try to run and take their children away from a drug environment. The problem is they took the drug with them. It's called self. So there needs to be a change. I need to stop looking at what I was and see what God called me to be. It's not a big step, it's a little step. We just take that little baby step. I mean, it's just one step in front of the other. You know why God gave us 2 feet? So we could take one step at a time. Just take one step. And after you take the first step, guess what the next step is? First one. And then you take the next first step. And then take that next first step. If you start learning to take those little baby steps, that man on the inside will become the stronger, and the one that used to rule and reign in your life will no longer rule and reign. It's called your mind. See, this mind dictates what you're going to do. And as long as it's weak and unempowered, it's going to rule your body. It's going to do things that you don't want it to do. But what does God see? He sees thou mighty man of valor. God made you spectacular. When he created you and I, he saw himself. What a neat thing. How many realize that God made you and I in his image, after his likeness? He didn't make a second class being. He made somebody in his very image, in his very likeness, with his very characteristics, with his very ability, and he put it on the inside of you and I. Sin dominated us. Sin put us down. Sin suppressed us. Sin keeps us from living up to our full potential. But sin is no longer a problem. You need to understand, sin is no longer a problem. The church makes it a problem. Religious people make it a problem. Your problem is not sin. Your problem is a lack of knowledge of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you. So I can sit all day and harp on the sin. You might give it up for a week or two, but it's not going to change you. And by the way, I'm not a sinner. I don't know about other people. I'm not a sinner. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not in me to sin. Did you know that? It's not in you to sin tonight. Are you born again? Have you confessed with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in your heart God the Father raised him from the dead? Then your sin is no, your nature is no longer to sin. By nature, I'm not a sinner. You say, but Jay, don't you ever sin? I didn't say I didn't sin. I said it's not my nature. I am not a sinner. I am the righteousness of God. It's hard for religious people to understand that. I'm not a sinner. Yes, I may sin, but that's not what I am. That's why you can't walk out of here and tell an unbeliever not to sin. Why? Because by nature, that's what they do. Without Jesus Christ, that's what they do. That's why you never go out of here and tell somebody, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to hell you go, because they're smoking or drinking or cussing or carousing or in prostitute or in drugs or whatever they're in. They're not going to hell for that. So stop telling them that message. They can go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. All the other stuff just falls off. Leave them alone. Do you know what happens if you try to take a bone from a dog? How many know that dog will bite you? He will bite you hard. Don't try to take a bone from a dog. But if you want to get the bone from the dog, what do? Throw him a steak. See, we keep trying to take sin from sinners. It doesn't work. That's why they bite you. That's why they fight you. But you know what? If you just throw them the gospel, just keep giving them the gospel, who cares if they receive it the day you give it? Be gospel, you know, be Johnny Gospel Seeder. Hello. Just keep putting the seeds out there. Let somebody else come by and water them. It's okay. See, we all got a part to do. It's sad that we always want the glory. You know, God gets the glory. We just do it. It takes us as a team. All of us together, working together as a team. And there's no big eyes and little U's. I can't stand here and just preach if you're not here. That makes us a team, doesn't it? Now, I've done that. I preach to empty chairs. Doesn't bother me. Hello. But it's a team. It sure makes it a lot more fun when there's people out there that are vacuum cleaners. You say, what's that? They suck the word of God out of me. It's a team. They made it so easy with praise and worship. Wasn't the praise and worship wonderful? What's it do? It stills my mind. Why do I need my mind still? Because it's helter-skelter half the time. It's running here. It's running there. It's running to. It's running fro. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about that. Oh, my God. Hey, vey. We got to get our mind still. Team comes in. Praise. And we worship. And all of a sudden, what's going on? My mind is free for a moment. And in that moment, the gospel comes forth. That's why it's so important for the word to come forth. Because in that moment, that there's a moment of freedom, the word of God can go in, it explodes, and a change can happen. How big is a change? It's a little change. Doesn't have to be a big change. What did the angel of the Lord say? What did the messenger say? He said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Wow, just a simple word. But it was in him the whole time. We need to understand how magnificent we're made. When you read Genesis chapter 2, I believe it's verse number 19. It says that God brought all the animals to Adam to see what Adam would call them. God didn't name them. Man did. Isn't that wonderful? Look what God made you. That's why a lot of us have problems receiving. You received an offering tonight. Some of you get so frustrated over not receiving back from your offerings. Want me to help you tonight? I mean, don't mind if I meddle for just a moment. I mean, don't care if I meddle just a moment. I'm going to do it anyway. I want to help you. See, we've been trained a certain way. Not by the pastor, because of our upbringing. And all of a sudden we think, give, and it shall be given unto us. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, and we're looking for it. It's got to show up. We run to the mailbox. We run to the post office. We're running here. We're looking everywhere for money except where we're supposed to be looking. Everything we need to win is where? It's in me. That financial breakthrough is in me, not without me. Matthew chapter 25 is a story where there was, you know, a man gave 5 talents, 2 talents and 1 talent. Remember the story? The man with 5 talents, what did he do? He went out and got 5 more talents. The one with 2 got 2 more. The one with 1. The Bible says that he dug and buried it. Y'all notice that he was working. Digging, burying, working. I'm here catching a picture. Was he busy? Yes. Was he working? Yes. Then they gave an account. The one with 5s. What the Lord said, he said, "Hey, you're done good because you got 5 more. He says, "Enter into my joy." The one with 2 came and said, "Hey, I got 2 more. He says, "Enter into my joy." The guy with 1, what did he say? He said, "Lord, I was terrified of you, so I took what belonged to you, and I went and I buried it." And the Lord responded this way. Are you listening to me? "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Oh, wait a minute. Was he slothful? He was digging. He was working. He was burying. He was doing, but God called him slothful. Why? Because we don't use that one thing that God gave us to generate finances, and that's this. He didn't use any mental anything to generate anything. We're waiting for something to come in our mailbox. Folks, most of the time, it ain't going to show up that way. We're waiting for somebody to come up and hand it to us. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It does. Most of the time, it's not going to happen that way. How's it going to happen? Well, how about John chapter 21? You ready for this? John 2. I know I'm just meddling here. I'll get back to my message, but this is part of it. Why? Because he's getting a new image. I want to put a new image. Because in John chapter 21 is the story where Peter quit. You know, he's lying down 9, backsliding Christian. And Jesus says to him, "Hey, do you have any meat?" John 21:5. "Do you have a purpose? Do you have a goal? Do you know what you're doing? Do you know where you're going? What's it all about?" And Peter says, "No, Lord, we don't." And Jesus says, "Now they're out fishing. They're commercial fishermen. It's how they make their livelihood." Are you listening? Shake your head, nonverbal communication. And Jesus says, "Cast your net on the right side, and you shall find." I mean, know what he just gave him? Inspiration. You're doing it this way, but now if we'll do it this way, I'll give you prosperity in the same position that you're in the same job. You don't even have to move, and I'll cause you to prosper. But he had to do something. He had to work. Had to get what? Busy with God's business. Y'all get anything out of that? That's a freebie. See, we always want somebody else to do it. No, I got to make this thing up here work. I got to make this beautiful thing up here work. Sometimes it's a little bit hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Why? We've never done it. But if I learn to take a little baby step, I'll take a little baby step. Some of you are believing to be debt free. You got hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt, or tens of thousands of dollars worth of debt, and you're believing for a $10,000 miracle to happen right now and everything be fine. How about we take a baby step? Let's believe we reduce our debt by 20 bucks. Now there's faith. See, that's faith working. The other's a dream. That is faith, folks. Please listen to me. It's not that it's not obtainable, but it's not my faith. Your faith is going to be something you can touch and reach out and grab a hold of. It's like, I believe I have a jet airplane. I don't have time to play at these airports anymore. I know it belongs to me. The Lord spoke to me about it, and I receive it. It's great, but I'm going to tell you, I don't have a track record for it. I don't have a track record for $1 million airplane or $2 million airplane. I do for trucks. Got track record. See, I can look back at my past to see where I'm going in the future. Right? So I'll start with a little plane. See, I can believe for that. See, can you believe to see your debt reduced by 20 bucks? See, we're going somewhere. See, I'm making my mind work. It's just a little baby step. I'm just taking a baby step. Yeah, honey, my wife and I get so excited when we can do little baby steps. Now you got the knowledge. Watch what happens. I'm going to show you. See, all I did was just give you a little bit of knowledge, make you think a little bit. See, I need to use this magnificent brain. I need to make it work. I need to see it go beyond where it's at. Sure, I see that jet. If you came to my house, you'd see pictures of it all over the house. They're in my cars. They're everywhere I go. I'm not going to lose my vision. I have the tenacity of a bulldog. I don't let go. God didn't let go of me. Why do I want to let go of him? It's always there. I'm not giving up on it. I'm not telling you to. Don't stop believing to be debt free. You always want to be debt free, but use this to figure out how to do it. I read a story where, you know, a father had told his kids to go make some money. So they saved all of the toothpaste things. This is back when toothpaste were made out of aluminum. Remember back years ago, they were all in aluminum. You squeezed them, and they took all of those aluminum toothpaste things. They got them from all their neighbors. And when they finally had enough, they melted it all down, and they had made a mold out of nickels. And so they were making nickels. They were making money. They didn't know it was illegal. But the point being, they were using this thing. They were making it work for them. He went out and, you know, and he wanted to buy comic books, but he didn't have the money to buy comic books, but he worked at the store and he watched the lady rip it's the book called What Rich Man, Poor Man. It's what rich people tell their kids that poor people don't. And it's a great book. It's a great book. I always teach my son. I say, son, you can work for $5 or make your money work for you. Take your choice. Okay, that's a freebie. But he's thinking. This kid's 9 years old. See, we got the capacity. And so this little nine-year-old's thinking. He missed not being able to have the comic books, but he watched the lady that was the manager of the store rip the comic books in half, the cover in half, kept it half, and he walked up and says, why do you do that? And she says, well, these go back to the distributor, and this is how I account for them. And he says, well, can I have the comic books? And she said, well, ask the distributor. So when the distributor or the comic books came, he said, sir, can I have those comic books? And the man said, sure, just don't sell them. He didn't sell them. He leased them. He opened up a library. Opened it up for 2 hours a night. Had hundreds and hundreds of magazines. And for 2 hours a night, he paid this young lady a dollar a day to be the bookkeeper. Now, let me tell you the point of the whole story. That's pretty good. He used his imagination. But that's because he was learning how not to work for money. And he was making 10 cents an hour. That was minimum wage, below minimum wage. And when his other stepfather was teaching him something, wasn't a stepfather, it was a second father, he said, now go work for nothing. You said you didn't want to work for money, now work for nothing. So now he didn't have the dime to buy the comic book. He was making 10 cents an hour, he was making 30 cents a week. Selling comic books or renting comic books, he was making $9.50 a week with his buddy. That's $4.50 a week. See, it's in here. All you got to do is think. You got to stop for a minute. Get out of your rut. Anybody know what a rut is? That's a grave with both ends kicked out. There's a lot of you in ruts. You don't want to be there no more. It's a bad deal. You want to get out. You want your wife to change. So you pray. You say, oh God, change my wife. Folks, if God could change it with a prayer, he'd change you first. Doesn't work that way. I got to change, and then my wife will change. I got to figure out, oh, we're Holy Ghost people. We pray in the Holy Ghost. Woo, glory to God, but praying in the Holy Ghost ain't going to save your marriage. A lot of marriages go straight to hell in a handbasket because it takes more than praying the Holy Ghost. It takes a little bit of love. It takes kindness. It takes a gentle touch. It takes a moment to sit there and say, God, how do I do this? What should I do? Roses speak volumes. With my wife, rocks do. They do. My wife has rocks from every state and every country I have been in. I just one day started picking up rocks and she fell in love with them because it reminded me of my wife. I was in this great big, I don't know, it was a city, but there was a flower bed and it was all wood chips but one rock. And I thought, God, that's me. I'm all alone in the sea of life because my honey is back at home and I'm out here by myself. I picked up that rock and I told my wife, I gave it to her. And she held that rock and she kept it in her purse. See, that did a whole lot more than just praying in the Holy Ghost. Because I could be praying in the Holy Ghost, waving bye-bye. While she leaves with another guy. Don't get mad at me. We're praying in the Holy Ghost about our jobs. You know, you tie my tie, I tie your tie. Glory to God, tie. Hello. But we're not working. I'm just trying to tell you how to get, receive it. It says, give it, shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men. Who's the man that signs your paycheck? It's a man. Do a good job. Watch what happens. Now God can work with something. I mean, didn't mind that I meddled. But it's important. I'm going to show you now. I'm not off course. I know where I'm at. And while I'm at that, some of us need to get Dumbo's mentality. Anybody remember Dumbo? You have to understand, folks, I'm Peter Pan. I flew away to Never Never Land and married Wendy. You know, I never have sickness, never disease, never poverty, never lack, never poor, broke, dumb, or stupid. I'm in Never Never Land. Huh? If you came to our home, our master bath, it looks like a store from Disney World. It's got all kinds of Disney lithographs, and you name it, it's in there. I mean, it's a happy place. I'm just happy. I met Jesus, folks. I'm happy. My wife is happy. My son is happy. Our home is happy. And that's yours, too. I mean, my wife and I and my son, we can laugh over a burp. We can find some reason to laugh over a burp. Some of you haven't laughed so long. You're so wound so tight. You need to swallow some mineral oil just to loosen up a little bit. Get a little bit free. Some of you walk weird, you're so tight. I'm not going to demonstrate it, because you know. But watch what happens next. Let me read it to you, may I? It's really good. He says, O thou mighty man of valor. Now watch. I'm not off course. We're going somewhere. I may think I'm off course. I'm glad nobody lifted their hand. Listen to this. Verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where is all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Listen to verse number 14. I might be slow, but I'm not going backwards, okay? Baby steps. Listen. Go. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this your might. What was the might? What was the might? It's what I just gave you. was called knowledge. You can overcome dumb with knowledge. If stupid sneaks up on you, you can overcome it with knowledge. He just got some knowledge. He already had knowledge, but it was buried knowledge. He knew that God was good and that God worked miracles. But he's in a wine press thrashing meat. And the angel of the Lord comes and says, "Thou mighty man of valor." And he responds, "Hey, look at man." He says, "If God's good, why is all this happening to us? And if God works miracles, why aren't we seeing them?" And what did God say? He said, "Go in this your might." What was his might? Number one, he had a new identity. He was no longer that weakly person that he saw before. He was now capable of being that mighty man of valor. He also had the knowledge that God is good. You can walk out of here knowing God is good and life around you is going to change. He also knew that God would work a miracle. Does that mean that everything I've said, that God can't get you supernaturally out of debt by somebody walking up and saying, "How much money do you owe?" and write a check? Sure, he can do that. Will he do it? Sure he will. Does he always? No. Wants me to use this, but you got knowledge. See, he's got some knowledge now, doesn't he? Now watch, because I'm going to help you. Got new identity, doesn't he? I am what the word says I am. I can do what the word says I can do. I can receive what the word says I can have. If the word says I can do it, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I like what prefaced that. Prefaces it is what puts power to I can do all things that through Christ that strengtheneth me. He says, whether I abase or I abound, whether I'm up or whether I'm down, it doesn't make any difference. I can still get the job done through Christ that's in me. I can do it. I can get it done. I may not feel like it, but I can still get it done. Had some knowledge there for a moment. Got new knowledge, but watch. You're getting knowledge right now, but watch how he laps right back into his former thinking. He says, "Lord, how can this be?" He says, "I come from," well, let me read it to you. He says, "I'm the poorest and the least of the poorest." Are you ready for this? Verse number 15. And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Anybody want to see his image? I'm poor in the least. I am poor in the least. I'm poor in the least. How many times do you think he heard that one? How many times have you heard it? You're poor. You don't have the right education. You don't have the right background. You don't know the right people. You've never had the right breaks. Then start creating some. Use this wonderful, magnificent thing here. I have people constantly say, "Jay, I just don't have a good memory." I said, "Do you know your phone number?" They tell me, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know where you live?" They say, "Yes." I said, "Do you know how to get home?" They go, "Yes." I said, "Do you know how to get to the store?" They go, "Yes." I said, "You have a very good memory. You just haven't developed it." See, there's not any of you in here that don't have a good memory. You just haven't developed it. And so that mind, you've been told you were dumb, so you're like Gideon. I just told you as a messenger of God that you are a mighty person of valor. I just told you and shared with you that God sees you differently. He sees you as powerful. He sees you able to accomplish, able to do. And what happens? That little teeny subconscious voice that we talked about this morning, what's it do? It raises its ugly head and it says to you, "Yeah, but I'm poor and I'm the least." But you know what? God didn't give up on him. Just because that image isn't changed, it's a baby step. He wasn't perfected just because he heard it. Don't walk out of here and think everything's going to be supernaturally changed. But you know, something can change tonight. Didn't something for somebody in here change this morning? Didn't we just grab one little thing? Not a big thing, just a little thing. We just grab a little thing. The Bible declares in the book of Song of Solomon, the little foxes spoil the vine. Well, if the little foxes spoil the vine on the evil side, then how about that little foxes can spoil the vine on the devil's side? That my little foxes of truth and reality, the little ones, can start tearing up the root of bitterness, the root of anger, the root of deception, the root of hatred, the root of lack, the root of poverty can be swallowed up. And I forgot to tell you a little bit about Dumbo, didn't I? I like Dumbo. Gets delivered from the mama, from the stork. Oh, it was so joyful when Dumbo showed up on the scene. How many remember Dumbo showed up? Everybody just loved Dumbo. He was the cutest thing on the block, man. I mean, they just rejoiced over Dumbo until one day. When he was out for a stroll, he sneezed, stumbled, tripped, and blew his ears out. Now he's got these great big ears. Now instead of being the cutest thing on the block, he's the ridicule on the block. They laughed him to scorn, humiliated Mama Dumbo until the fire came. And when the fire came, that wonderful uniqueness that he had caused him to arise above the rest. All the rest of them were earthen bound. But that uniqueness that Dumbo had, that uniqueness that is in you will cause you to rise above the rest, cause you to get up. And you're the ones that could put out the fire to destroy the whole circus. Dumbo got the bucket. Dumbo put out the fire. Don't let people take your uniqueness and turn it into a deficit. Turn it into something wonderful. Make it an asset, not a liability. I like 2 Kings chapter 4. It's where a woman is in so much debt. They're coming to take her boys away and put them into bondage. I like the story because the woman came to a man of God. Do you know what the man of God did not do? How many want me to tell you what he didn't do? He didn't pray. Didn't pray for the woman. We love to pray, blow things off. Let's just pray, we'll blow it off. You say, I thought, folks, a lot of times prayer is a blow off. How many still love me? How many know I love prayer? How many know prayer is vitally important? We need to get, but I'm not talking about prayer tonight. You understand? I can't cover everything at one time and get you out of here at 8 o'clock. But you know what the prophet of God said? He's going to give a solution. I'm a problem solver. I believe there's a lot of you in here that are problem solvers and don't even know it. You just never taken the opportunity. That man of God was a problem solver. And this is what he said. What do you got in your house? Take a little inventory. You know what you need to do right now? Take inventory. What have you got? What have you got in here? What is your gift? What is your talent? What's your ability? What are you good at? What do you like to do? What do you dream about? What do you got? Because that's something God can work with. Maybe a little. She said, I just got a little bit of oil. He said, that's enough. Go out and borrow a bunch of vessels, and we'll take a little bit of oil, and we'll turn it into a lot. People call that supernatural, except she had to go sell the oil. Again, a little bit of work involved. Had to do something. But she made enough money to pay the debt and to live off of. Probably was a giver. John 21, cast your net on the other side. Most Christians are waiting for God to fill the boat with fish. No, throw the net. Watch what God can do. Y'all get anything out of this? You're all so quiet. I got to get going here. See, you got knowledge now. Knowledge overcomes dumbness. You know that God gave you new identity. You know that God is good. You know that God works miracles, but you're still thinking poor. At least that's okay. Because the next thing he did is so powerful. He said to the messenger, the angel, he says, wait, stay here. If you've really spoken to me, I want to give you a gift. It's called putting value on something. We receive offerings. We receive tithes. But you know what he did? He put a value on the word. Sealed it with a gift. Validated it with a gift. You know what else he did? This is going to help somebody. How many love me now? He did. He put money on it. Actually went out and made a feast. But you know what he did that's really cool? Here's an opportunity for him. You ready? He said, wait right here. I got to go home and fix it. And then I'll bring it back. Don't let an opportunity pass you up. Whatever you got to do to fulfill that opportunity, do it. And then after it was received by that angel, fire came down, consumed it. So it was given, it was received. I mean, that's a good thing to do. You validate it. Why? Because you put value on it. I sell my tapes now. I never used to sell them. I don't like selling tapes. You know why? Because people don't listen to them unless they buy them. If I give them to them free, they sit on the shelf and gather dust. Why? It didn't cost them anything. But when you can validate it, you put a gift on it. And then the word started becoming alive to him. Then you know what he did? He built a memorial. First he gave a gift.
The gift was received. He did what? He built a memorial. How do you build a memorial? You have to go back and understand, how did they build them? One stone at a time. They went out and got one stone and put a stone down. Then they went and found another stone and put another stone down. Then they put another stone and put another stone down. How do we do that today? We put a scripture down. And then we validate another scripture and put it down. Because everything I said hasn't reached everybody. But something's reached some of you. Some of you are reaching out and grabbing something. And I'm going to start building an altar here. So I can be walking no matter where I go. I can look back and go, yeah, that's when God did. That's when God did this. See, God always had him build memorials. He built his own memorial. Build a memorial in the kingdom of your heart. With what? One scripture on top of another scripture. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a new creature. Old things have passed away. I've got the mind of Christ, the wisdom of God. I'm something terrific to God. I am a wonderful human being. I'm valuable to God. That's my thing. I'm valuable to God. I want to be the most valuable asset God's got. That when God wants me to go somewhere, I'm available. I want to be valuable. Are you catching it? I'm not as valuable as I want to be, but I'm more valuable today than I used to be. Why? I've been taking little baby steps for 30 years. One step in front of the other. And it's worked to hold me together for 30 years. One step. How many know if you swallow a whole steak, it'll choke you to death? But you can enjoy it. You know, anybody know how to eat an elephant, by the way? One bite at a time. Whoever said it, thank you. See, you can eat an elephant, but don't try to do it at one sitting. Just one bite at a time. And then now watch. He's on a roll. And the Lord comes back because why? He's got new identity. The knowledge is exploding in him. He can do something. He doesn't have to be worthless anymore. He's not a nothing. The angel of the Lord says, the Lord wants you to go tear down the altars of Baal. I got to brief this up. It's in there. You read it when you get home, okay? And you know what he did? The Bible says he went and tore them down. But do you know when he tore them down? At night. Because he was afraid, it says. See, he was afraid but still obedient. He's taken a baby step. He said, okay, God, I'll do it. I'm going to wait till everybody goes to bed. And when there ain't nobody else looking, I'm going to tear it down. And then they'll have to try and figure out who done it. I just had that happen to me in a real unique way. There was a man that wanted a job transfer, and his wife was being, you know, a little bit naughty about it, didn't want to do it. And I just prayed it. I didn't say anything to hear. I just prayed a prayer. I said, God, turn her heart and let him have the desire of his heart. That was just a prayer to God. Well, he got the desire and God turned the wife's heart. Well, what am I going to say to him now? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I prayed and God did it. Like he'd tell me to go blow a kite. Hello. Why? See, I could have been brave and said, I'm going to pray. God's going to change your wife and you're going to get that job. But I was a little scared. I did about 2 years ago. I prayed, and 2 years later, he got the job. He's elated. His house sold. The furniture sold. His wife's excited. The kids are excited. One of them's not, but that's okay. You know, that can change. See, I had the opportunity to bring God the glory. I did it in secret. We're obedient, just a little bit gun-shy. It's okay. You catching the picture here? I mean, there's other stories when you watch. We always think everything is not like it always is in the Bible. Everything in the Bible is truly stated, but everything in the Bible is not truth. Like, we love to march around the walls of Jericho to see the walls come down. And guess what? They probably won't. That wasn't for you an example of what God can do. Folks, let me give you a better example. You want to have a heart after God? Well, you don't have to go out and commit adultery and murder like David did. Because that's the one who said he had a heart after God. That is a fact. He committed adultery. He killed somebody for Beersheba. And God said, you got a heart after God. folks, that don't mean you're supposed to go out and kill somebody. There's a lot of things in the Word of God that are there. It's like we make a big to-do out of Acts chapter 5 where they sold everything. That was the dumbest thing they ever did. We make a big to-do over it. They sold everything and had everything in common. This is Jerusalem. And after they sold it, they didn't have anything, and they had to wait for Paul to go get an offering for them. See, God didn't tell them to sell everything. They just got caught up in the moment. Got a little bit excited. Have you ever done that? Don't tell me you used to do something when I got my private pilot's license. You wouldn't believe what my house has that I don't use. When I bought my motorcycle, you can't believe the junk I got that I don't use. Right, Rob? We buy stuff because we get caught up in the emotion of it. You don't think you don't? How many of you watch those things at late at night and early in the morning? Yeah, take this pill and you'll be thin. Don't have to do a thing about it. You take the pills and you still look like a Goodyear blimp. It don't work that way, folks. Y'all getting anything else? I got to close pretty longly here. But you see, there's hope beyond the hope. Just because I gave you a word doesn't mean you might not fall back and go, I'm poor. See, we don't cut people slack. I was learning how to cowboy 22 years ago. I was learning how to cowboy. I got on this pony on the SH ranch, and they said, but Jay, before you go out of the corral, you ought to ride the horse in the corral. I thought it's tradition. I'm a baby at this. Folks, I don't know a lot. I get on that horse and he pops a wheelie on me, folks. My God, he popped a wheelie. So I rode him around for a little while. Then we went riding that day. I rode that pony for 9 hours. When we were out there, he was the most wonderful pony. His name was Sox. Had no shocks on him, but he was a good pony. You know? But when I came back, we even wrangled horses, and he was a wonderful horse. But when I came back in the corral, and I took this leg out of the stirrup, and it cleared his hind quarters, he brodied all over the corral. Now, meanwhile, there's two cowboys laying on the ground, busting up laughing. But they really lost it, man. When I came over to him, I said, what in God's name have you done? You gave me a horse, I get on it, it pops a wheelie. That's it, they lost it, they dumped. Because horses don't pop wheelies. And horses don't brody. I didn't know that. I've been riding motorcycles since I was a kid. When the front end of a motorcycle goes up like that horse did, it's a wheelie. And when the back end of that horse went where the front end is, like a motorcycle, it's a brody. Catching the picture? They didn't say, hey, dipstick. What's the matter with you? Horses don't pop wheelies and brodies, they rear and buck. I know the difference. We doing okay? So maybe you walk out of here and go, I'm poor in the least. But that's hope. Because Gideon fulfilled the destiny God had for him. You'll outgrow that real shortly here. That little fear that you got, that little fear that's swallowing you up. Well, take the baby step and do it in the dark. Nobody will know. It's okay. Because one day you'll fulfill it. And then when they came to get Gideon because they figured out he was the one that did it, his daddy said, let Baal defend himself. Baal wants to take that boy, let Baal do it. I like that. When you do what God tells you to do, he's big enough to defend you. Got that? And then you go to chapter 7. I probably have to close there. Chapter 7 is really good. Now he's on the march. What's Gideon doing? He's doing what God called him to do. Now he's taking more baby steps. He's going to go out and face the enemy even greater. And there's a whole lot more story in there, but you all understand I can't give you any more. But this is the last part I want to give you. He's got 32,000 men with him. And God says, that's too many. Anybody that's a little bit afraid, go on home. Got a little fear in you? Go on home. It's okay. You'll outgrow it. He didn't put them down. He just said, it's time for them to go home. They don't need to go to battle. They'll die. So he's got 10,000 left. How would you like to see your army of 32,000, although a mighty man of valor, that it did things in the dark, and now you got 32,000 men, pretty well surrounded, protected, got 32,000 men, and all of a sudden your forces are cut and two-thirds are gone. You're now sitting with 10,000. And God says, that's still too many. He says, let's go down to the pond and let everybody get a drink of water. And everybody that drank like a dog and lapped it by putting their hand to their mouth like this, going to stay with you. And the ones that bury their head in the pond, they can go on home. The army is now down to 300. Now, I listen to people all the time talk about the reason God did that. It's because God wanted to make sure he got the glory. So he had to diminish the odds so that he could get the glory. Okay. As though God's really on an ego problem here. He's got to really worry about it, whether it's 10,000 or 32,000. He can rain down fire from heaven and wipe out a whole bunch of them, 120,000, at one shot if he wants to. Y'all getting anything out of this? Let's get it to something very relevant for you and I. Little 300 becomes much when you present it to God. The little that you are can become so great when you just present it to God. That little something you take inventory on that may seem so little, but when you give it to God, he can turn it around so you can chase your enemy, so you can fulfill your destiny. One little baby step after the next, and now you're ready to do it. And then God gave him supernatural wisdom how to do it. He said, everybody blow a trumpet. And he says, and break the vase that's got the light on the inside, and you'll scare the fire out of them. They blew the trumpet, broke the vases, the lights were shining, and it so bewildered the enemy. Are you ready? It said they killed one another. Catching that? Little wisdom from God. Little becomes much when you give it to God. One last thing, chapter 8 is really cool. People get up in arms about it. Great leadership does this. It's wonderful. It's a neat thing. Just throwing it out to you because I'm done. Anybody get anything out tonight? Amen. Just have some fun. But you find out they came and said, hey, Gideon, why didn't you get us involved in this? He said, look what you did. You've done so much more than I ever could do. See, great leadership doesn't take all the glory. Great leadership shares it. They did a survey on the great compared to the good Fortune 500 leaders. They got good Fortune 500 leaders, and then there's one step above. How many know good is the enemy of great? Good leaders would say, when things went well, how good I did. Good leaders, when things went bad, said, what did you do wrong? Great leaders, when things went well, said, the whole team did it. Great leaders said, when things go wrong, what did I do? Or what can I do to make it better? See, you're going forward to make other people winners. Not after your own self. You're going to be so transformed like that butterfly. Sure, some of you are sitting there on that leaf, on that branch, eating that little leaf, wishing you could fly, wishing you could be something, wishing you could do something for God, wishing you could do something for your life. How many don't mind if I just throw out one more thing just to help you? Are you all ready for this? Don't get mad at me. Please don't. Everybody say, I won't. But we love to sing, God is all I need. But he ain't. I need my wife. There's things my wife can do, God can't. You're looking at me like, but see, we program ourselves, he's all I need. And so everything around us becomes insignificant. Everything around me is vitally important. God never said he was all we need. He said, seek me first. But after the first, there's a second. And there is a third. So don't feel guilty because you want to love your wife. And don't feel guilty because you want to love your children. And don't feel guilty because you want to buy them something nice. Don't feel guilty that you put value on their lives. Don't feel guilty because you want to do something good for somebody else. Just seek him first. But just remember, he's not all. The songs are wonderful, people, but understand, if I program myself to think that way, then everybody else becomes nothing. I lose my relationships with one another. I don't get to know you because, Zane, if he's all I need, I'll never get to know you. But I know a little bit about Zane in 2 minutes. I'm building a relationship with Zane. Isn't that wonderful? I'm getting to know Rob back there. He thinks like I do, fast and nuts. Building relationships with these two wonderful people. I told you this morning, they put so much in me. If he's all I need, then why'd he help me? So wonderful. Taught me something I have used. I don't know, how long ago did you teach me to put all my finances in a 3-ring binder? Years ago. Anybody want to know anything about J. Louvier Ministries? It's in a binder. Learned it from this man. Want to know anything? Here it is. Check it out. Since 1982, it's all in a binder. 5 of them. I got backups on top of backups. If you want it, I got it. Yeah, God is my all sufficiency. To God be the glory. He is the number one. But then there's the number two. Her name's Wendy. And I love her. She's the princess of my dreams, the queen of my castle, the crown of my masculinity. I just praised my wife. I worship my wife. And people go, oh, you're not supposed to do that. Shut up. That's the problem. We don't want to worship our wife. He's the only gets the prayer. So our marriages go to hell. And I love that lady. I worship her. It's something about praise. I got to close. I think I'm done. I really got a whole lot more. You want the rest of it? I got more. Invite me back and I'll get to share. And Pastor always does. It's so wonderful, Pastor Beer. Thank you for giving me your pulpit, your time. Thank you for receiving me tonight. Don't give up on yourself now. One little baby step. What do you see you can change tonight? One little baby step. You say, Jay, I'm strung out on drugs. One little baby step. One little baby step. One little baby step. And one day, you're going to know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't need that junk. You just walk away. You're sitting there, you're so worried about your temper. Well, stop worrying about it. I'm going to help you to worry about it. Huh? And stop dealing with it, because you can't anyway. But you can change it. My father may have had a temper, but I don't have one anymore, because my Father God doesn't have one like that. And by the way, it's not sin to have a temper, it's just what you do with it. God has a temper. There's no sin to have a temper. I used to execute it against my wife. Now I do it against unrighteousness. Got to have the temper. That's a part of me. Some of you men that want to be a man, be what God called you to be. A man. Men like to play tough. That's why we like football. We like NASCAR. And nobody's going to tell you this, but we kind of like the crashes. They're spectacular. But you ask people, oh no, I just like to see cars go around in circles. Yeah, that's why while they're going around in circles, you're on your sitting. But when the crash happens, you're up because you don't want to miss it. Don't look at me that way. Christians come by and they change the rules. If Christians ran NASCAR, they would be going 20 miles an hour, one at a time around the track. It's too dangerous. Folks, a turtle never got anywhere till it stuck its neck out. You want fruit, you got to go out on a limb and get it. Live dangerously. You're afraid of heights. I told you this morning, jump off a curb. You'll overcome it. This is the baby step.